Hey everybody, this is Armon. Today's November 1st, 2017. And once again, we're gonna revisit the topic of business and politics of sports. There's been this huge hot button of the NFL protests and Donald Trump's involvement, and now how that's carried over into major tensions and negotiations between players and owners. We are going to touch on this and delve in a little bit to what the issues are, what's really at stake, and what the reactions are of the fans, the media, and all of us that are involved kind of on the outside looking in. So obviously this all started a little over a year ago with Colin Kaepernick taking a knee before a preseason game in August of 2016, which at first didn't have as much buzz or attention. It was just a kind of a curious gesture that obviously met different reactions and questions from the media. And it gave him a platform to start expressing his views on social inequality, different forms of racial discrimination and injustices that he felt were happening all over America. And it's something he wanted to raise awareness on, and this was his way of doing it. He's not in the league anymore. The owners essentially got together and kind of came up with a pact to make sure this guy doesn't have a job. Basically he was martyred in the process. He took a stand and put himself, his career on the line, his financial future. Obviously I'm sure he made plenty of money in the years that he did play and was still, unfortunately, at the prime of his career, but that's what people do when they believe in things and believe in them deeply. It kind of reminds me of another athlete some years back named Muhammad Ali, that I'm sure we all know and respect. He was one of the leading athletes of his time and really all-time greats as a boxer, but he was more than just a boxer. This is a polymath. This is the example of someone that transcends boundaries and goes beyond what their main field of expertise is, and when people start to do that, it can ruffle some feathers and it raises flags, and you get people saying you should stay in your lane and do what you do best. But when something's in someone's heart, and as it was with Muhammad Ali back when he was protesting all the wars in Vietnam and different kind of, again, injustices both in the country and how we're acting and behaving in the world as a country. You had people obviously on both sides of that debate or of that issue. As with any issue, there's always going to be people on two different sides or multiple sides looking at issues, having strong opinions, reactions, and debates. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. That's what we're here to talk about and raise those issues and evaluate all sides of the debate and the issues and see how we can hopefully be productive and collaborative in finding solutions and compromises that work for everybody, not just for one side or the other. We're gonna dig a lot deeper into this, talk about the impact on the bottom line for the NFL and what it means for the players, what it means for the fans, and how all of us, as part of this project, the Polymath Project, can collaborate and do use some of these platforms to spark some positive change in the world. So I'll take a quick break and come right back and go deeper into these issues and hopefully come up with some solutions. Look, I'm a business owner. I understand that the bottom line and return on investment and the marketing impact that media can have and that social media can have on our business is something we always have to watch. And when ratings are down, as they are with the NFL this year, and people start questioning a lot of things about how the league is run and the interest of fans in the league waning, of course, if I was one of the owners, I could understand and I would relate to their concerns when players start doing things like kneeling for the national anthem and it raises concerns from military and fans and people that come to the games or watch the games for entertainment value and don't appreciate those political stands or social stands being taken. It's a question mark. So I think it's definitely a healthy discussion and debate. It's encouraging and I think positive that the league management as well as owners and players got together on a couple of occasions now formally to sit down and have kind of round table, open forum discussions and hear each other out. In one of the last meetings last week, as you might have heard, the owner of the Houston Texans, Bob McNair, had an interesting quote that you could see here, that the inmates can't run the prison, was what he said. And obviously, some of the people in the meeting that were players of different racial backgrounds and descents took that as a major insult. And in fact, his team, when they heard that and it got back to them within a day or two, literally walked out of the facility and were ready to essentially protest or walk from the team. Obviously, after big players and coaches meetings, multiple apologies from the owner. They came around and ended up playing this past weekend, but as you'll see in one of the graphics we have coming up, all the players did take a knee for the Texans during this past week. So, I mean, what was that? That kind of commentary, is that really indicative of what these owners are truly feeling? That, they kind of call the shots and the players should do what it is they say and what they want? I think there is a major issue with that, and it's something that the players' union and the players themselves realize we actually do have not just social currency, we have some power at the table here, and we can... We want to leverage that power to have our voices and our issues and concerns be heard. We're part of this league. We're part of this $15 billion of annual revenue and value as the entertainers that are putting their health and, I wouldn't say lives, but certainly their health and their skills and what they have to offer. One of the things they have to offer on the field is what provides the value. So it's good that they have a seat at the table. And that when someone makes a comment, obviously an ignorant comment like this, that they're called out for it. And in my view, this is part of a real old school kind of way of thinking. And a lot of folks that think that way are, I believe, the ones that are upset with the fact that how dare people kind of come out of line and express views that are, outside of kind of the box or what the organization or institution is supposed to stand for. What's interesting to me is one of the other owners and the ringleader, so to speak, of the owners, Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys, that are the most valuable franchise from a business revenue and valuation wise. They're worth over $4 billion. And I was proud. I'm actually a Cowboys fan, and I was proud to see the Cowboys players, coaches, and even owner himself kneeling the weekend after Trump made his commentary a few weeks back, and you can see here in the picture that he's really not very comfortable doing this. Ironically, within a week after that, he's the one that tried to do two things. Jones tried to, and is still trying to, mandate and have the league create a policy where players have to stand for the anthem, or else they'll be fined or suspended. And so he's pretty much enacting and voicing and backing the Trump kind of point of view on this and philosophy. And he's actually made a statement to his own team and coaches that if any player kneels, any Cowboys player kneels for the anthem, they'll be kicked off the team. So again, the old school mentality, command and control, and you know, yeah, I'm the warden of this prison, so to speak. Not that, you know, being an NFL player and making millions of dollars a year is any kind of prison. These guys obviously have, you know, their own freedom of career choice, and you know, I don't think anyone's going to feel sorry for them in the position they have. So it's not really a question of that. It's a question of, you know, what this kind of wider context is, and I believe the NFL's position of now embracing the players, at least even if it's in a lukewarm fashion, and inviting them to the table and saying we want to empower them to allow their concerns to be heard, and we actually want to work with them in the communities to help them make society, you know, a better, more functional, safer place for everybody. And it's not obviously an easy task, but it's something that these role models, like it or not, as an athlete with the social currency and the media attention you have, whether you intended it or not, you are a role model. What you do, what you say, people will pay attention to. Young kids are going to copy it. In fact, what we see here with the kneeling, it's happening not just at the professional level. This is now down into college, into high school, into youth sports, where I've heard multiple stories, and you could read about it online, of kids at soccer games, basketball, football, every sport, making their position and their feelings known, and realizing that they can actually have a choice and don't just have to do whatever everyone else is doing or whatever they're told. And again, there's a question mark of, is this a divisive issue? Is this going to divide us? And sure, it may raise some emotions and some tensions, but I believe it's actually a very healthy discussion point and debate, and you're taking this entertainment platform and actually getting people to think instead of just zoning out for 3 or 5 hours on a Sunday to watch the game and cheer for whichever team you bet on or whoever your fantasy players play for, which is all good fun and things that, you know, certainly there's nothing wrong with. But to have to actually have that moment, even if it's for 5 minutes and 10 minutes, and think about social and political and kind of real life issues, instead of just being geared towards a total diversion, I think is a very healthy thing, especially for a culture and a society where political education and just awareness isn't necessary, and engagement isn't necessarily the highest. So be it. If we can use a platform where there is a lot of engagement, like media and sports, to create more conversation, understanding, and awareness, that's a really healthy and positive thing. So I'm happy that the league is at least saying they're going to be open to supporting the players. I'm happy that they haven't tried to enforce a standing for the anthem policy, although obviously certain owners are able to do that within their own teams. It really makes me not want to be a Cowboy fan anymore, and I've had a lot of other reasons to question their leadership and ownership, and this just kind of adds to the pot. So I'm gonna boycott wearing my Cowboys jersey until at least one more player makes some kind of vocal statement and kind of rebels against that you know, command and control style leadership. And again, look, I'm the owner of companies and I've people working with me for me. But you know, again, that's not my philosophy. I believe everyone kind of has to have a little freedom. Obviously, there are certain rules and structures in any organization, which the owners of those organizations have the right to set forth. And then people have the choice to either be part of that philosophy or not. So talking about the business side of things and the league being concerned about its revenues and its ratings, I don't think any of us should cry for the NFL. As you can see from this graphic here, of all sports franchises across the world, and this is a bit of a dated graphic, so that $13 billion is actually $15 billion per year in revenue now. The value of these franchises basically range from $1 billion to $4 billion, whereas when someone like Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys in 1989, it was worth a couple of hundred million. So kudos to him for being a brilliant marketer and businessman, or at least timing the market well when this thing has skyrocketed in what, 30 years or less. And so I really wouldn't be too concerned for the owners or the players or anyone involved, even the sponsors, whether they choose to continue their sponsorships or not. This is an extremely valuable commodity, as are all the franchises. So, of course, there's a greed factor there, and people expect endless and constant growth, which certainly isn't natural and sustainable. So I think, the NFL could use a little bit of a correction in all their key metrics and revenue figures and things of that nature. And, I don't think the league's going away, but certainly it would be good to see a positive evolution in terms of things like player safety, and then these kind of social issues being addressed through player, owner, league partnership, which is certainly a possibility. Another issue in this field is how the fans are reacting, right? And you've seen some different things. Like, for example, Aaron Rodgers called for fans in Green Bay to link arms as a sign of unity, not just from the players, but from the fans and the community. And again, mixed response, but as you can see here, a number of them responded. And I think that's a real positive message. It's a positive message that, look, we're all in this together, whether we agree or not on every detail is not as important as the fact that, everyone's looking for peace, everyone's looking for, their bit of prosperity and happiness, and there's no reason why we can't consider everyone's needs and point of view. Then you get the reactionary fans, like this guy here in Kansas City holding up this sign to protest on your own time. And I find it interesting that this point of view that let's just focus on the game, and if you're a player, focus on doing your job, which is, playing for your team, and basically don't go outside that box. But when you see players doing positive things, like unquestionably positive things, like raising millions of dollars for hurricane victims, as J.J. Watt, as one example, for the Houston Texans, the very same Houston Texans we were just talking about, raised over $37 million just by using his social currency and putting out some tweets, getting on some TV shows, and obviously helping during a very critical time, a city and communities that were in desperate need, of help and support and financial aid and other kinds of support. And I don't hear anyone or the same guy that's holding up the sign there telling the player to do that on your own time. What about efforts like this, where players are using their social currency to help their communities in ways that they can? I really don't see that as much different than trying to raise awareness on social injustice and issues of that nature. So again, just a reminder here, these athletes that might have a 5-7 year life cycle in the league, even a player like Watt has been injured now 2 years in a row, who knows how much time he has left before he's gonna be retired, and all his media value and currency and platform essentially to kind of be a star are going to likely reduce after that, unless he's able to reinvent himself in some post-playing profession, like being a commentator or a business owner of some kind. You only have that small window. You only have that window. Just like a politician that's in office and has cameras on them for 4 years or 8 years, these players have that window as well. So I'm happy to see them use it wisely and for more than just, showing off their latest touchdown dance or, sneaker sponsorship promotion, again, which are all cool and fun things, things that people are going to watch and mimic. So when someone brings up some serious issues and topics, it's something that I respect and certainly encourage for these guys, and we're seeing the impact that it's having. We're going to leave it there for now. It's something we'll come back to, obviously, regularly. We like the topic of sports and its effect on society. It's obviously a key part of our culture and, has some business and marketing implications as well. So ties into everything we're representing here, and again, seeing these players cross boundaries and become political, social activists or heroes in their community by raising funds and helping, you know, during these crises like the hurricanes, is exactly the definition of what, you know, a polymath is and does. Someone that thinks holistically and goes beyond being kind of singular or one-dimensional in their life and in their profession. So, something we certainly appreciate. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with some concluding thoughts.
In India, 50% of our population lives on less than $2 a day, and they have no access to any kind of public health system which can take care of them.
100 years after the first heart surgery, less than 20% of the world's population can afford it. For 80% of the world's population, if they ever require a heart operation, they're going to die.
You see a small child, mother is holding a child, and you tell them that there's a hole in the heart which needs to get fixed. The first question the mother asks in this country is, how much is it going to cost?
The patient and their family should be focused on the healing and the recovery and not having to worry about the finances.
Health City is a vision to change the way that health care is delivered and to provide the highest quality of health care at the lowest price to the largest number of people.
Anyone that doesn't believe that health care is being disrupted outside the boundaries of the U.S. is not watching what's happening in the Cayman Islands, and they're not watching what's happening in India.
We have to find ways of reducing cost. You can no longer spend 18 or 19% of your GDP on health care. It's unsustainable.
I believe that India will prove to the world that the wealth of the nation has nothing to do with the quality of healthcare. And once that happens in India, it will be very easy for other countries to follow.
So most of us don't have the social currency of a superstar or an NFL player like J.J. Watt that can put up some tweets and speak on media and raise, you know, $30+ million for hurricane victims. And most of us don't have the financial currency of NFL owners that can basically have multiple billions and millions of dollars to basically affect whatever positive, hopefully positive change in the world that they want to see. But we all have different forms of currency. There's actually an amazing book by one of my mentors, Dario Salas, called Cosmic Currency, where he talks about our consciousness, our awareness, our karma, essentially, what we have, you know, built up and accumulated over the course of potentially many lifetimes, but at least in this lifetime, that is a form of currency that can be translated into many positive things and can be converted. So treating people well, being there for others, kind of builds another term for it, as we call emotional capital and social capital, where when it's our time to call on people and ask for favors, people don't turn us away because we've been there for them. So that's, you know, one form of a positive karma. Something else along, so again, the point is we don't have to have all these tangible things, you know, again, millions of social media followers or millions of dollars in the bank to affect positive changes in the world. We have to be centered on what our values are, what kind of assets and resources we have, and how we want to utilize those, not just for our own benefits, obviously we're going to do that, but for the benefits of others. And a concept I really like a lot, and I wanted to bring it to light today, is this concept of random acts of kindness, because not everything's about, you know, having a huge effort and initiative. I mean, obviously, that's a wonderful thing to do if we can volunteer and do different forms of community service. But just, you know, random acts of kindness throughout the day, you know, helping an older woman carry her groceries up, you know, a staircase, or you know, you see it all the time with people coming out of the train stations in the city, a mother trying to take her baby up a flight of stairs, and she's got the stroller and trying to figure out how to get up there, and taking the time out of our day, especially if we live in, you know, these busy metros, you know, like New York and Jersey City here, it's very easy to get lost in the busyness and the hustle and trying to get to our next meeting and, you know, working through our thoughts and our agenda, that it's very easy to overlook those opportunities. But I find that if we can focus on just kind of being self-aware throughout the day, and you keep your eyes open, I'm sure, and it's a challenge I want to put out here as, you know, part of our project for the week, is to consider some random acts of kindness and try to have some awareness in this week going forward, and just pay attention, slow down a little bit when you're out in public and commuting to work, or just out and about in the community, where there could be some opportunities to help some folks out, whether you know them or you don't. There's a great website here that you've seen us pull up called randomactsofkindness.org, and it has a lot of great ideas. So you can just see kind of a screenshot of it there, and if you go to that site, let me just click in here and see what the link is. Yes, it's randomactsofkindness.org. And you can kind of see they have all different categories, and you can kind of come up with new ideas or see what ideas other people have, and it segments it by different categories, like kindness for senior citizens, animals, children, and the environment, things of that nature. So it's just one of many sites of the kind, but it's one of the ones I like best. And so, you know, take a look if or come up with your own ideas, and you know, challenge yourself to maybe every day, you know, do one random act of kindness. And it's, again, your way of building a positive, you know, cosmic currency, and also using the currency and the resources and the thoughtfulness that you have, that we all have, to help others. And on that note, before we sign off today, I wanted to highlight a very unique and cool local business started by these two New Jersey-based fathers called Sips and Kicks. And actually, Chad and Andy there. Chad's a longtime friend of mine that I grew up playing soccer with back in Staten Island, where we grew up. And this concept was his way, as he was taking his kids to school every day, his two young kids, and seeing what kind of let's say, not the healthiest food choices that schools were offering these kids. He came up with the idea, along with Andy, to offer some healthier food choices to these kids and use it as a platform to educate the kids on the ingredients that go into the foods they eat. So they started making these super tasty fruit and vegetable smoothies with ingredients like kale and blueberries and pineapples, all different types of recipes that they've put together. And now over the last 6-7 years, they've actually grown quite a nice business. It's a nonprofit business, a 501c3, and it's something that's now going into plans to grow and offer nationally to help, you know, parents, educators, and kids all around the country have, you know, healthier, more nutritional food choices. And that's just part of it. That's the Sips part. The Kicks part is actually more getting these kids more active. You know, as we know, there's an epidemic in our country in terms of partially because of the negative food choices, but also just the inactivity and all the TV watching and sedentary lifestyles that we've grown to live more so alarmingly at younger and younger ages. And the diabetes that's associated with that, and a lot of negative side effects. And that's the Kicks part. It's getting these kids moving, getting them more active. Not everyone has to be on track to be in the NFL or the MLS or professional level. I think we get a little bit, and a lot of parents get very obsessed with trying to raise the next superstar athletes. And honestly, that's not really what it's about. What it's about is getting kids active, allowing them to move, allowing them to have fun. And regardless of your athleticism level or how fit you are or how good you are at a certain activity, that's not really the point. The point is to have fun, to get movement, to be healthy. So that's really what Sips and Kicks represents, and they're starting to work with sponsors and professional sports organizations to really kind of indoctrinate this philosophy of movement and healthy eating as well. Similar to what the NFL has with Play 60, I believe is the concept. So again, this is a way that two fathers from New Jersey came up with a great idea and are offering it in their communities, and it's having a positive impact. So it's good to hear those kind of stories in terms of fitness, sports, and health starting to pervade and have some success. And that's, again, what we support with the ventures that we support and the different, of all the different areas that the world can kind of undergo some positive changes. This is one of the few, beside from the environment and generally just raising consciousness and awareness, helping kids get a better foundation and a better support system and be more educated in these areas, health and fitness and nutrition, is one that that I'm certainly very passionate about, and it's one that we're going to continue to support and highlight here on the Polymath Project. So with that being said, good luck with your thoughts and creativity and random acts of kindness in this coming week, and we'll see you next week. Take care.